بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وأيضا قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مبارك وهدى للعالمين. وأيضا قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون الله ورسول أحب إليه من ولدي ووالدي والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله الكريم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and brothers, may Allah Ta'ala make whatever is being mentioned a means of our hidayat and hidayat of entire mankind at large. Moreover, may Allah Ta'ala bless us all. It's an important dua. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all to go to the Mubarak cities and get the full barakat, blessings and benefits, and give us maqbool journeys. One is to go for Umrah, one is to go for Hajj, one is to go to Aqsa. But Allah help us to go in such a way that those journeys are maqbool. Those journeys are such that has such an impression on our hearts and minds, and has such an impact on us, that it becomes the thing that will be a source, a means of our najat, savior from the fire of Jahannam, going to Jannat, and making us from his beloved servants, the awliya. Ameen. That should be the spirit. To understand it, if a person happens to go to a place, who understand it, like how Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi gave a beautiful example. He says, imagine there's some riders that are traveling in the jungle in the night. Everything is dark, and as they are traveling, their horses' hooves are trampling on something. So one of them who knows about the route tells them, they ask, what is this we are trampling on? So the person replies, who knows the route, says, see, you are trampling, your horses' hooves are trampling such things, that the one that does not pick up anything from the whatever he's trampling, the horses are trampling, will regret. The one who picks up one will regret. The one who picks up 10 will regret. The one who picks up plenty will regret. Everybody will regret. Whether you pick up one, or you pick up nothing, or you pick up many, you all will regret. Well, those guys are scratching their head, what should we do? One of them says, alright, let's see, I'll just pick up one. Another one says, I won't pick up anything. Another one says, alright, let me just fill up my pockets. And we see what happens. And they travel and travel until they come into daylight, and they know they cannot go back. Closed. This is a route only one time. When they come out and they look, the one that looks in his hand, he picked up, it was such a pearl that no money could buy. He feels like kicking himself, I only picked up one. The other one who picked up, didn't pick up anything, says, such a stupid, I should at least picked up one. And there is that one that picked up, filled his two pockets. I had so many bags with me, I could have filled up all those bags. All are in regret. All are in regret because they didn't realize what was there. Everyone in regret. This is the example Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi gave. And we apply this in regards to Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, Masjid Aqsa. If you understand, and these people are traveling in the jungle in the dark, they didn't know what it is all about. This discussion that we are having here, next week too also we'll have, is to make us enlightened that what jewels, what pearls, what barakat, what blessings are in these Mubarak journeys we are going to make. When we have that understanding and the azmat and the value, we'll be able to appreciate and benefit. Many go. South Africans, mashallah, many go for Umrah. Many go for Umrah. But the big question is that big but. How many of them are picking up all those barakat, those blessings, those benefits and getting the true value of this Mubarak journey? This is the realization that we need to get. And this is the effort that needs to be made. Go, we're spending thousands. But make sure that we are able to get the blessings and the benefits. Today my discussion will be mainly regarding Madina Munawwara. Next week inshallah, Makkah Mukarramah and the Hajj inshallah and the Umrah. Regarding Madina Munawwara, you know how beautifully said in Urdu, you know, the Nazam must have heard it. Madina Jannat mein aur Jannat Madina mein. Madina is Jannat and Jannat is Madina Munawwara. It's not just a saying. We only had to understand its gravity and understand its graceness, and inshallah we will be able to benefit. But this place, Madina Sharif, was selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beloved creation, most beloved and honored creation and servant. Allah selected this place. So much so that Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people of Madina Munawwara, when they thought that, you know, now that Islam is grown and, you know, that Rasulullah may go back to Makkah, he said, "Oh, people of Madina Munawwara, I now will live with you and I will leave this dunya staying with you. I'll leave this dunya in this place. Madina Munawwara is my home. Madina Munawwara is my home." The residents of Madina Munawwara are so much praised in the Quran Kareem. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Those that had migrated to Madina Munawwara, the residents of Madina Munawwara, and those that will follow them, Allah is pleased with them. These are the dwellers of Jannat. The residents of Madina Munawwara have got that title. They have got that such a praise from Allah, those people that assisted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madina Munawwara. Allah selected this place for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before even the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the previous books about Madina Munawwara was told. In the previous books about Madina Munawwara was told. So special this place is. There was a very great emperor, king of Yemen by the name of Tubba. Very righteous person, religious person. So much so that he traveled with the rabbis, those that were believing in the Torah, following the original religion of Musa alayhi salam, and following the kitab of the Torah. He used to have them as his associates and khadims and companions.
to learn from them. Tubba is that person. He's the first person to put a cover over the Kaaba. Kaaba Sharif, you know, we got that, what you call the ghilaf, the black. He was the first one to put one. And that one that he put was of leather. And ever since then, mashallah, we find that yearly they put the ghilaf of the Kaaba. But the first one to start this tradition was Tubba, long before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. In any case, Tubba is traveling with these ulama, these learned, these rabbis, and they come to Madina Sharif. When they come to Madina Sharif, these rabbis are looking in their scriptures. And in their scriptures they read that the final Nabi, the most honored of all the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, for whom Allah had created this world, whose ummah will be the first to enter into Jannat, last to come into this world, so much of virtues of them. He will migrate to this city. And the descriptions are given. The city is between two lava mountains, and it will be a place where the date orchards, etc. All is mentioned in their books. They're reading this and say, man, this is the place. So they tell Tubba, you know what? We don't want to go from here. The final Nabi will be here. We'd rather be with him. Maybe he'll be from our progeny. That is how these Jews came to Madina Munawwara. Tubba, when he heard this, the final Nabi will be here. And about how great our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, his status. You know, there's so much we can talk about how great Rasulullah's personality is, even in the previous scriptures. So much so that Tubba then prepared a letter, a scroll, a document, in which he proclaimed that, oh Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad and Ahmad, I have accepted your religion and I believe that you are the Nabi of Allah. And I am with you. While I am alive, if anybody interferes, if you come while I'm alive and anybody tries to harm you, I am on your side. He brought iman. In Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he built a home for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave it to one of those people living in that home. He said, this home you stay, and this document is, you must pass it. If I pass away, whenever that final Nabi comes, you give it to him. If you pass away, you give it to the person, your son, and pass it down. Down the generations. This was his wasiyat. So the Jews that had come with him, the rabbis, they settled down in Madina Munawwara also in meat preparation, in looking forward to welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Banu Qurayza, the Banu Nazir, and the Banu Qaynuqa. These were three Jewish tribes that resided in Madina. What initiated them, what inspired them to come to Madina Munawwara was that in their books was mentioned about the coming of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he'll come to Madina Munawwara. This is what brought them to Madina Sharif. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My time will not be able to go into this discussion. This inshallah, when we go to Madina Munawwara, we'll do that discussion. But it's a very heartwarming, beautiful experience to feel this, you know, experience this, or imagine this feeling. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's, as you say, running for his dear life with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu out of Makkah Mukarramah, where the people of Makkah Mukarramah are bloodthirsty. They want to kill him, get him dead or alive, giving a reward of ransom of 100 camels, whoever can find him. He has to escape from that beloved place where he was born. And he leaves and he goes into that cave. taking refuge in a cave for 3 days and making his way, you know, with all that stress and that fear, he and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then they come into Medina Munawwara. Oh, whoa. Just can you imagine, you know. You're running for your dear life, and as you are coming to Medina Munawwara, in the meantime, the people of Medina Munawwara get message that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left Makkah Mukarramah and making hijrah to Medina Munawwara. Every day they are coming out in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When it used to get very hot, they used to then go back in their homes. In Quba, in the area of Quba, the Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Qurayza, they were living mainly in these areas, these Jewish tribes. So one of them, maybe he was still out, and he saw these two personalities coming in. If you know where Masjid al-Quba is, just near there, there's another masjid, just was a broken down structure, but now they're renovating it, Masjid al-Musabbah. That is where the direction from which Rasulullah is coming. He spots Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he shouts to the people of Medina Munawwara, O people of Medina Munawwara, O people of Quba actually, he whom you are in search for us has arrived. Wah! When that message came, you know, they had never seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they had already brought Iman on Medina, on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people of Quba and the people of Medina Munawwara. By the time Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached Medina Munawwara, the effort that Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu had made on the people of Quba, Medina Munawwara, almost every home, the people of Ansar, the original inhabitants of Medina Munawwara, the Aus and the Khazraj tribes, these two tribes, a lot of them had already come in the fold of Islam. Now they were in search, waiting to meet the one upon whom they had brought Iman. And that message came, wah! The welcome, they came forward. Everybody ran out of their homes, come to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine the feeling in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart? He's going to a place, don't know what to expect, and suddenly all of them coming, ahlan wa sahlan, ahlan wa sahlan. The way they give him that welcome, but they don't know who is Abu Bakr and who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't know whether who is the two. They had never seen them. This Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in his wisdom, quickly took like his shawl and just sort of shaded Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they recognized this is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa taala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent a few days in Quba. At that time, he decided to build Masjid al-Quba. Basically, the first masjid that Rasulullah built was Masjid al-Quba. He builds this in the few days that he's there. He stays in the house of Kulsum bin Hadam radiallahu anhu. This is right at the, you know, where the minaret today is there. His garden is there. Rasulullah Mubarak's saliva is in that garden. Water people take from there. And thereafter, about a week or so, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now leaving Quba, going towards Medina Munawwara, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 4 Ks. Can you imagine the procession now? He's going to his, where he has made his decision to go. And as he's going, he stops by, it's Friday. He says, this is the Banu Auf tribe here, and the Banu Najjar tribe live in this area. Let me make Jum'ah here as an honor for them. And that's how we get Masjid al-Jum'ah. The first Jum'ah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed in Medina Munawwara is where Masjid al-Jum'ah is. I put it, give and take about, say, 600-700 meters away from Masjid al-Quba. And as you come out of there, you know, when you understand the history and the greatness of this place, and just where the Banu Najjar lived, that is the maternal family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. The Banu Najjar. Those small children, Allahu Akbar. What happiness it was to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is when they read that poem or they sing that poem. And they say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Tala'ul Badru alayna.
من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر ما دعا لله داعي أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع.
سبحان الله. You know, can you imagine how Nabi Sassam will be feeling? The happiness coming from Makkah where they want to take his life. And here, look at how he's being welcomed. Can you imagine his heart? And the praise they're giving.
Tala'ul badru alayna. Tala'ul badru alayna.
Has risen upon us the 14th full moon. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being praised like the 14th full moon. I want you to remember this when you're going to do your ziyarat of Madina Munawwara, how beautiful our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. When you go to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think of this tala'ul badru alayna. And think of the words of Habib bin Najjar rahmatullah. Think of the words of Hassan bin Sabit radiyallahu anhu when he said to about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
wa ahsanu min kalam tara qattu ayni, wa ahsanu min kalam tara qattu ayni, wa ajmalu min kalam talidun nisa, khuliqta mubarram min kulli aibin, كَأَنَّكَ كُلْ خُلِكْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ.
I'll come back to this one, but let's do the first one.
تَلَوَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا.
The 14th full moon has risen upon us.
مِنْ سَنِيَاتِ الْوِدَاعِ.
From where the caravans are sent off. Now just near Masjid al-Jum'ah, near where the Banu Najjar tribe is, there is a fort over there. They say this is one of the places from where caravans used to be sent off. So once you do, when you go do the ziyarat and you understand, oh, that's the place where the caravans are sent. This is where the Banu Najjar is. This is where Masjid al-Jum'ah is. Everything fits in like a jigsaw puzzle coming together. So they are praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There the people were rebellious against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah. Here they are saying,
وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داعي.
It's compulsory upon us to be grateful that Allah sent you to us, our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We appreciate you.
أيها المبعوث فينا.
Oh, the one who has been sent to us. Now it is compulsory for us to follow you. They were rebelling against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will obey you, ya Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They call him the Tala'ul Badru, the 14th full moon. And to understand that is one beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we are going to go make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you don't know these words in Arabic, and if you just have to ponder and close your eyes and you stand before my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and think to yourself, the beautiful words of Hassan bin Sabit,
wa ahsanu min kalam tara qattu ayni,
more handsome than you, no eye has ever seen. How beautiful my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. You know, it's a complete different bayan if you talk about the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, when we have to lose a needle or sewing needle in the night and we can't find it, the nur that came out of Rasulullah's face, we should find it. She used to say that if the woman of Yusuf Ali, in the time of Yusuf Ali Salam, if they cut their fingers looking at Yusuf Ali Salam, if they had to see our Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would cut their hearts. How beautiful is my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His features were so handsome, so beautiful. And all that is recorded in the hadith about the beauty of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had such a countenance. The more you looked at him, the more you admired him.
وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَى قَدْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءِ.
More beautiful than you. No woman has ever given birth to anybody more beautiful than you. This is my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. خلقت مبرم من كل عيب. You have been created pure and away from any kind of deficiency. You have been created as you desire. The most beautiful, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how he is now leaving this procession, coming out of Quba and making his way into Medina Munawwara. To the right they say, Ya Rasulullah, come to my house. Banu Najjar say, you are from our family, you are our relative, you are Haga, come by us, man. Nabi Sassan says, my camel is under the command of Allah. Where Allah wants it to stop, that's where it will stop. But can imagine his heart. How happy he must be feeling. Everybody wants to grab. Ya Rasulullah, come to me. Anas radiallahu anhu says, that was he was about 10 years old. That was the brightest day in Medina Munawwara. Everything was shining. Everybody is coming onto their house, coming out of their houses. Some of them are on the rooftops. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was one of the alims. He later brings Iman. One of the alims of the rabbi. One of the learned people of the Jews. He's sitting on his rooftop and he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entering, and he looks at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Allahu Akbar. His auntie says, bhai, you wouldn't have made a Allahu Akbar for seeing Musa alaihi salam. You're making this with such ecstasy seeing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I see such beauty, piety, radiance, nur in the face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's somebody special. Thereafter he brings Iman. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. Can you imagine this procession? Everybody running around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's camel comes and sits. Now, I worked it out to be around the place. If you know Masjid al-Nabawi, you got the green dome. And next to it, you get a big silver dome. Around there, that's where the camel stopped, the first stop. Sat down there. He says, this Allah is showing me that in this area I must build the masjid. Thereafter it moves. And where the green dome ends off, where that Bab Baqi is, the door of Baqi, when you make salam, you start from salam and you come out at Baqi. As you come out over there, just in the corner over there, was the house of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. The camel stops there. This is on the command of Allah. Now all this why I'm saying to you. Firstly, this whole journey comes and stopped over there. Stops over there. Says, this is the place that Allah has destined. Everybody wants in his house. Says, no, this is the place Allah has destined. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam jumps off because the camel stopped over there, sat down there. And guess what? What did Hazrat Ayyub Ansari present to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He took out that scroll. He took out that letter of Tubba. This is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam his declaration of his iman, the house that was built by Tubba for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and stay. This is the place. Subhanallah. This camel is controlled by Allah. Tubba had prepared that letter. This is the house Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spends approximately, according to some, 2 to 6 months before his house was built, right next to it. So all this I'm saying to you to understand this place, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I said to you, Medina Munawwara is Jannat, Jannat is Medina Munawwara. When we look at Medina Munawwara, Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Uhud jabalum min jibalul jannah. Uhud is a mountain from Jannat. Uhud jabalum min jibalul jannah. Imagine this, you are seeing the mountain of Jannat. That's why I made niyat on one occasion. I went to Uhud. I said, I want to go today to Uhud to stand on this mountain bare feet, such a way that my feet are touching the sand of Jannat. And alhamdulillah, on that day, when I went there and I did this, I saw what I never could imagine. I'm feeling a bit worried, you know, that I'm going to be stretching, talking a lot of things. Time seems to be already, what I really want to get to is, but I need to tell you all this. This is important things. On that occasion when I went to Uhud and I stood on the mountain with that intention, I understood another hadith. As I walked in there to go towards the mountain, I found one part of the mountain where there was a red circle on the mountain, and another part where there was like a cross or a marking also in red paint. So they tell me that that spot where the higher part where is like sunken in on the rock of the mountain of Mount Uhud, that is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had placed his head on the occasion of the battle of Uhud. When he was injured, he had lost a tooth, mouth was bleeding, there was a link from his chain that had got stuck into his jawbone. At that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, really, really finished, physically hurt. He placed his head on the mountain, on that rock of Mount Uhud. Immediately the rock became soft, like a pillow, giving him comfort. So that's like that part is sunken in. Mark, this is where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his head. When he bent, it took the shape of the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving him comfort in his back. At that moment, then that realization of another hadith came to my heart. Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, "Uhud yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu." Uhud loves us and we love Uhud. I used to always, you know, think to myself, Uhud, how can you love a mountain? How can you love a mountain? Uhud yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. Uhud loves us and we love Uhud. I said to myself, if this mountain can give my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam such comfort and rahat, must I not love this mountain? If this mountain loves my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must I not love this mountain? This hakikat realization Allah opened to me. So I said, as I mentioned at the outset, Medina is Jannat, Jannat is Medina. Mount Uhud is a mountain of Jannat. I'm seeing, when I go there, I'll be seeing the mountain of Jannat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned Wadi Aqiq min al Jannah, Wadi Batha min al Jannah. The valley of Aqiq, that is one of those canals there, or those valley over there. You'll find, inshallah, when you do go for ziyarat, we'll show you those places. These are valleys of Jannat. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm seeing the valley of Jannat. I'm seeing the mountain of Jannat. I'm just trying to show you what is Medina Sharif about. I mentioned the residents, the Ansar, where people that Allah had, they are the dwellers of Jannat and Allah is pleased with them. Now we got Uhud is of Jannat. We got Wadi Aqiq of Jannat. We got Wadi Batha from Jannat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, below my minbar is the pool of Jannat. So again is Jannat. Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Baina bayti wa minbari rozatam min riyaz al Jannah. Between my minbar, between my house and the minbar is the garden of Jannat. All this is Jannat. Where the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the attached to it, is the pillar called Ustuwana Hanana. Allahu Akbar. That is the trunk of the date tree where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lean on that tree. The trunk, you know. It was just placed there for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lean. Then a minbar was made for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that was made and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved from that, stopped using that date trunk tree, or the trunk of the date tree, and went to the minbar, that trunk began to weep, cry. So much so, like a baby crying, as mentioned in the hadith. Cried like a baby, how a baby would cry. And Sahaba are all shocked. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes and console that trunk of the tree. So much so that as he's consoling, you know, how that cry will go towards the end. That trunk was crying and was calming down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to that trunk, if you want to, it can keep you here. If I want to, I'll bury you and you'll be a tree in Jannat. It chose to be buried over there. So this tree basically is in that area of Jannat also. So can you imagine what a special journey Allah is giving you to go to such a special place with so much of things that you'll be in. If you're walking in Riyaz al-Jannah, understand that I'm walking in Jannat. That's why I say to you when you are there in Riyaz al-Jannah, see, one is to go through it as there, but one is to feel it. Ya Allah, I'm here in Jannat. Ya Allah, you'll only put those in Jannat that you love. And you person who go to Jannat, you have mentioned Khalidina Fiha, they'll remain in there forever. So I ask you, Ya Allah, make the decision that you're going to give me Jannat. Say it with that feeling. Understand it and value it. And make one salat of shukr there. Or after making that salat or making that sajda, say shukr alhamdulillah, my Allah, you blessed me to make sajda in Jannat. You blessed me to make sajda in Jannat. You know, we go there, but have I understood the gravity of what I'm doing? The greatness of what I'm doing? To appreciate it in that manner. That I am making sajda in Jannat. Shukr alhamdulillah, I'm making sajda. 100% sahaba made sajda here. The accepted servants of Allah made sajda here. The family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sajda here. Could have been Abu Bakr also made sajda here. Umar could have made sajda here. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sajda where he made sajda here. This is the area where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked, and I'm making sajda here. Allahu Akbar. When that kind of understanding and feeling is in our heart, then alhamdulillah, it is a complete different picture. You know, it's so important that we prepare ourselves in the way of not just going to the laws and the masail, but to value what I am doing. Like for example, in Masjid al-Quba, when you go, we go, inshallah, when we go, whether you go for Umrah or go for Hajj, you must go to Masjid al-Quba. You must go to Masjid al-Quba. As it mentioned, to go to Masjid al-Quba, the reward of it is the Umrah of Madinah Munawwara. But let us tell you a bit more about that. You know, on the right-hand side of Masjid al-Quba, in that area was the house of Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu. The house of Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu. In fact, when you drive in that area of Quba, you'll find the road called Share Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu. Who was Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu? Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu and his father Khaysama. Before going to Badr, they both were saying, who's going to go with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sa'd says, I want to go. Khaysama, the father, says, I want to go. Both of them are having this discussion. Let's draw a lot. It comes in the favor of Sa'd. Sa'd says, I am going to with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he goes to with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Badr. And he's made shaheed in Badr. There were 14 sahaba, 8 from the Ansar, 6 from the Muhajir, that were made shaheed in the battle of Badr. One of them was Sa'd radiallahu anhu. He's a Badri sahabi. Their status, they are the greatest amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhu. They were given the title, you can do what you want to, you will be forgiven. Those that took part, the 313, of them, imagine he was the shaheed of Badr. His father Khaysama radiallahu anhu took part in the battle of Uhud, and he was made shaheed in Uhud. Where you on the right hand side of Masjid al-Quba, in that area was the house of Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu. Today is part of the masjid. So you are reading Salah there in the house around that area, or could be in the house of a Badri sahabi who was made shaheed in Badr. And moreover, there were two places that the beginning of Jummah was done even prior to coming of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Medina Munawwara. One was on the western side of Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other one was in the house of Sa'd bin Khaisamah radiallahu anhu. Now imagine you are reading Salah in that area that one of the earliest Jummas started, or one of the first Jummas started. All the Jummas throughout the world, the Bismillahs, one of it was in this place. In the house of Sa'd bin Khaisamah radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar, imagine making sajda in that place. One, it is the house of a Badri. Number two, imagine that Jummah in that place at that time. Allahu Akbar. Before Masjid al-Quba was built, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. I tell you, when you go there and you make the salah there, and you make a dua there, and you understand the greatness of it, it's something else. Its beauty is something else. Its feeling is something else. Emotion, you can, you know, sometimes you can say, you know, this bus can just go away, I'll stay here and make longer dua. Because, you know, we go in a group there, now we say, you know, 15 minutes time, now the bus has to go, and now we have to go to next place. But just to be there and to understand this place in its reality is something else. So this is how we begin to understand and benefit from this. This is in regards to Medina Munawwara itself. I just touched a bit in regards to the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to understand who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attachment to us, and then to go to Medina Munawwara and to stand in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding in front of whom I am standing, and with what love I should be standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With what love I should be standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having that love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, developing that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. This will come, number one, to understand how he sacrificed for us. Number two, how he cares for us. Once we understand this, inshallah, it will help us to benefit from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the right manner. When we consider the fact of how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about us, and I like to mention this constantly, so the realization of this can come into our hearts. Who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, who he is, how much of care he has for us, how much of feeling he has for us. I always give this nasihat. You know, whatever problem you got, firstly to understand it, I like to mention about Qasida Burda, the famous Qasida Burda. Ahmad al-Busairi rahmatullah alayhi was bedridden, whether it was out of stroke or whatever, he was bedridden for a long time. In that condition, he wrote Qasida Burda, all in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That night he dreams of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives him a shawl. And with the barakat of Rasulullah giving him the shawl and the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wakes up in the morning and mashallah, he is completely healthy. He's walking the streets. One buzruk meets him and tells him, "Sheikh Ahmad, tell me about those few lines that you wrote about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, that line. That was, he had written that poem. Nobody knew about it but him. And Allah had inspired somebody to tell him and ask him about that same Qasida Burda. Why I'm saying you this? See, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَوْفُ الرَّحِيمُ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّ فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Here Allah is saying The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam feels the pain. When we are going through any hardship and difficulties, he's worried about us all being believers, but he's also worried about any takleef, any hardship you get. So I tell people, you know what, if you got any issue, read this ayat of the Quran Kareem, and thereafter read, you can say it in this way, one of those durus that you read, فَسَهِلْ يَا إِلَهِ كُلَّ صَعْبٍ بِحُرْمَةِ سَيْدِ الْأَبْرَارِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَسَهِلْ يَا إِلَهِ كُلَّ صَعْبٍ بِحُرْمَةِ سَيْدِ الْأَبْرَارِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَهِلْ. That means, O Allah, فَسَهِلْ, make easy, كُلَّ صَعْبٍ, every difficulty, بِحُرْمَةِ سَيْدِ الْأَبْرَارِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, to the blessings of Habib صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whatever takleef you got, O Allah, make it easy through the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will get me solved. I say also, if anybody got sickness, read this laqad ja'akum, that whole ayat there, and thereafter say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin tibbil qulub wa dawa'iha wa nurul absar wa diyaiha wa sihatil abdan wa shifaya. This is darud al-shifa. You read this inshallah al-aziz, Allah will give you shifa also. Whatever it is, do it with that yaqeen, do it with that conviction, do it with that understanding. So understand this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam feels for us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerned about us. So when we go by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have that he's worried about us. He cares for us. He feels for us in every way. That's one. Then we understand that on the day of Qiyamah, when every other Nabi will be worried about himself, it is only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be worried about everybody. Every ummati of his, he will not be happy until he don't see us all going to Jannat. That's why he has kept his one dua. He's kept one dua behind. Every Nabi had a dua to make, they made it in the dunya. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has kept his dua for the day of Qiyamah, that he can ask Allah to put us all in Jannat, inshallah. Am I not to love my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I got so much feeling. Sayyidatana Aisha radiallahu anha asked Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where will I find you, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the day of Qiyamah? He said, oh Aisha, you'll find me by the scales. I want to see the scales get heavy so my followers can go to, the scales can be heavy so they can go into Jannat. Or you'll find me by the Sirat, by the bridge, which everyone will have to cross over. Thinner than a hair, sharper than a blade, everyone will have to cross over there. And there'll be the hooks that will throw them into a Jahannam. I will want to ensure that everyone goes across and goes into Jannat. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerned for us even on the day of Qiyamah. Look at how Allah Ta'ala depicts the day of Qiyamah when Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ فِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. On the day of Qiyamah, everybody will run away from one another. Whether it's your brother, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's your children. Everyone, those that you showered so much of care for, and you gave them everything, they all will say, Ya Baba, we don't want to know you. No one wants to know you, even your own dear, near family members. Nobody will want to know you. Everybody, as Allah says, want to have that quality of being independent. We don't want to know you. Only our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, Ummati, my follower, where you are? I want to see you go to Jannat. On that day which is most important in every person's condition is the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, no one wants to care for me, but my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to care for me. Am I not to love him? Am I not to have that greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my heart? Who has so much of feeling for me? So my respected elders and brothers, when I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I say to you, it is not just to go there, you know, we have the card there, and you go there and you say, the tarteeb is you say, Inna Allaha malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. After that you say, As-salatu wa salam alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salatu wa salam alayka ya Rasulullah. And he said that whoever says that 70 times, and thereafter makes whatever dua, the dua is accepted. What dua to make, I'll tell you just now. But when I'm making that salam, understand it like this, that my Nabi Sassam is replying to me. And his reply is so great. Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu was one of the, you know, say this, big people of Madina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit him. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit him, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from outside made salam. He replied quite softly. Again Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made salam, he replied softly. Third time Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh, he replied softly. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took it that he's not here. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left. Sa'd bin Ubadah comes out of his house and runs behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I heard all your salam. But your salam is dua for me and I want your dua. So when you're making salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you go, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hayatun Nabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his qabr. When you will make that salam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is replying to your salam and he's giving you dua. So don't just say, As-salatu salam alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salatu salam alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salatu salam alayka ya Habibullah, As-salatu salam alayka ya Nabi Allah, As-salatu salam alayka ya Sayyid al-Anbiya, ya Sayyid al-Mursaleen. No. Just say it in a way that you are talking to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like our pious elders say, when you go there, when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi and make salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not reading, you are talking. Wahab. Parna nahi waha baatcheet karna hai. You don't read over there. You talk to Nabi Sassam. It's a direct conversation. Allah is availing you to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a one-to-one basis. Imagine, people feel proud that, you know, I'm going to go and see the president of that country today, or I'm going to have the chance to speak to that king today. You know, he thinks it's something great. Bye-bye, these are all nothing. Imagine speaking to Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the messengers, Khayra Khalqillah, the best of Allah's creation, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Understand, you talking, have that concentration, understanding who I'm talking to, and understand that he's replying to every salam I make. And remember, this is very important for me to bring these words to you. A Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he reads the ayat of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, Ja'akum min anfusikum. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا what it goes. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. When they had wronged their souls, and they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek forgiveness for them, and Rasulullah will ask for forgiveness for them, you'll find Allah most forgiving. Is those that had wronged their souls come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those that had wronged their souls come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for forgiveness. Now the point I'm trying to say to you, don't ever let shaitan put this negativity in your heart. Main to kuch nahi, mujhse nahi ho sakta. That I am nothing and Allah, you know, that Rasulullah sallallahu won't give tawajjuh to me. When he said these words and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu to seek forgiveness for him, and he said this poem in love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put in somebody's deen by the person Abu Muslim, go and tell him that Allah has forgiven him. Con, sinful person, a Bedouin who said, I have done sin and I have come to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam send that glad tidings that you will be forgiven. So we all are sinners. Don't feel in this way, you know, I am a bad person and therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam may not respond to me. No. I'm emphasizing this point. However we are, whoever we are, go with this. My Rasul loves me. What? My Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves me. I must have that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. I like to just mention this, you know. Allah just put my mind. Allama Iqbal, the famous poet of Pakistan. Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh had a dream in which he was told Allah Ta'ala made Allama Iqbal's Maghfirat. On what? He prepared some poem in which he said this much, O Allah, if you have to punish me, please don't punish me in front of my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must feel disgraced and insulted that I have been such an evil person. Do it away from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Upon that, Allah made his maghfirat to say these kinds of words. So in no way should we ever feel in any way that my standing in front of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is something small. Allahu Akbar, when I go there, and when I'm talking to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever I am, yes, don't forget, before I go, at least make tawbah. Ya Allah, I haven't been following the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make me maaf. Forgive me. I want to rectify my life and I want to come on the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give me the tawfiq. If the person doesn't have a beard, start keeping a beard. If the person is breaking the commands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give it. If the sister is not in parada, not even, she's shameless in a way, make tawbah, come into modesty. Bring that before you go by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make the intention that you will thereafter correct your life. You will correct your life. You better your life. So in this way, when we come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you make As-salatu was-salam alayka ya Rasulullah, salat, salutation and salam upon you, O Rasulullah. Say it with ishq. Say it in a way that you say it and wait even half a second, thinking to yourself, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, wa alayka salam ya Riyaz. Wa alayka salam ya Ibrahim. Wa alayka salam. Whoever you are, whatever is your name, just think to yourself, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, wa alayka salam ya Musa. Just think that my Nabi is talking to me. In that kind of a spirit, I should be making that salam to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Beloved brothers, I tell you and sisters that are listening, that then your salam is more valuable, more enjoyable. You'll find that you will not just carry on talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, if you do it 70 times, it says whatever dua you make is accepted. I say to you, imagine when now you know your dua is accepted, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Hayatul Nabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to you, and you make a dua like this. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, O the most merciful, through the blessings and the sacrifices of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and through the tears of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and through the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Allah, have mercy on the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I ask you, if you got a son that is sharing in your concerns, whatever worries you got, he's with you. He's there with you in all your worries. Won't you love him? He's carrying your burden, your pain. It makes it easy on you. You feel you appreciate him. Can you imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who worries so much about us? And you are sharing in his pain and you're telling Allah, through those tears of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through those du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through those sacrifices of my, and you're appreciating Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sacrifices, and you're appreciating those du'as that he made for us, and those tears. Ya Allah, show mercy on the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I ask you, will Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not love you? How much Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will love you? After saying that, and thereafter, when you make that du'a, in this manner, like how when that blind man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him those to read to and to make in that manner to the medium of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in that way we find that another person in the time of Usman radiallahu anhu, who complained to one person that he cannot get to Osman radiallahu anhu, so that person told him to read this dua or this words and to talk to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter put your request across. And when he went and made this way, and you go in the same manner and you say, Allahumma inni atawajju ilayka bi nabiyyik nabiy rahma ya rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as'aluka yas'aluk ay yaqdi hajati. O Allah, I turn to you through your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I ask you to ask Allah to fulfill my need, and yaqdi hajati, to fulfill my needs. Now when you get that opportunity, you know, as I say, dil laga kar mangna hai. Pull your soul and ask Allah for everything. Through the medium of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing and tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask Allah for whatever you want. That blind man, when he read this and he made dua, Allah restored his eyes. That person who couldn't get to Osman radiallahu anhu was able to get to Osman radiallahu anhu. And I always mention, alhamdulillah, when I had that kidney stone pain over there, and I told, Ya Allahumma inniya wa tawajju ilayka bin nabiyyik, O Allah, I turn to you through your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Rasul, I ask you to ask Allah to fulfill my need. Ya Rasul, I'm suffering with this kidney stone pain. Alhamdulillah, walked out from there, walked to Bab Baqi, and I entered into Bab Bilal, and alhamdulillah, my pain went away. Whatever is the need, beloved brothers, Allah, give the... Ya Rasulullah, I asked you to ask Allah to show mercy on His ummah, to guide His ummah, to give them the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. In this way, beloved elders, brothers, when you start talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not a 1 minute thing or a 2 minute thing. I tell you, there is so much to ask, and it's so enjoyable to stand by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, you know, after that, you also then say, Jazakallah khair, Ya Rasulullah. Thank you, Rasulullah, for all the effort that you had made, that today we are Musliman, and that we are from your ummah, Ya Rasulullah. I ask you, and you say, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. And I testify that you are the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, Rasulullah, I want you that you testify on my favor on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Sallallahu is alive. In his qabr, he's hearing you talking, even if you're talking softly. They say Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is more alive now than when he was in this dunya too. Thousands are coming and making salam at one time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is answering everyone individually. This is an opportunity you are being availed by Allah to have a one-to-one conversation to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With everybody around, you are talking to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam alone. Alhamdulillah. And all those that are sending salam from Darud from all over the world, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is answering to all the Darud also. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is answering to you, talking to you, getting the opportunity. It's not a small thing. This is where the important factors come. All of us that are going, whether it's for Umrah or we're going for Hajj. It's important that I go by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in such a way that he likes to look at me. My features must be such that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must admire me. Then mashallah, he's my true muttabi', he's my true follower. He's following me to completely. In every way we should think to ourselves, that is how I should go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, my beloved brothers, and also sisters, think out yourself. I ask you, if I'm talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it time for me to take picture over there? To take videos of a day, and then to think to yourself on such a auspicious, sacred journey that I'm making. We worried more about the photography and the videos, etc. Allahu Akbar. And that is in total contradiction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashhadu al-azab yawm al-qiyamah lil mutasawwirin," the most severest punishment on the day of Qiyamah are for those that take pictures. You know. It's very interesting to understand this. I think it was 1962-63 around there. Marhum Chotamata Desai, the father of Qari Ismail Desai of Amzunto, he liked doing paintings, etc. He's sitting in the haram of Makkah and he's drawing the Kaaba, not the Kaaba, basically the haram of Makkah. He's working on that thing. No human pictures. Just that. That time they realized, they were particular that no human animate pictures may be taken, whether it's photography, whether it is even drawing. They saw him drawing, although there was no human pictures. They caught him, he had to go for a court case, he had to pay 5 riyals because he was drawing something, yet it had nothing to do with pictures. And right up to, I would put it 95, 96, 97, maybe up to 2000, they never allowed you to take pictures in the haram. But today, unfortunately, that so-called liberal attitude has come and all this videoing takes has spoiled the spirit of Hajj, has spoiled the spirit of Umrah. And you will lose out if you get involved in it. And be very careful. The dua of Rasulullah, Allahumma inni as'aluka hajjan la riya wa la suma. I ask you for Hajj in which there is no name and fame and showing off. So Allah protect us from that. When you go there, we have to be very mindful of this. Beloved elders and brothers, inshallah, we'll cover a bit more about this part about Medina Munawwara next week, how to go about the adabs. And inshallah, Al-Aziz will do Makkah Mukarramah next week, inshallah. But the lesson that I wanted to bring across to you is the azmat of Rasulullah SAW and the azmat of Medina Munawwara. I just want to mention one final incident, you know. This place is no small place, and it's important to understand this place, how great this place is. Allah even chose today where you are in Masjid An-Nabawi. Allah even selected the place for the burial of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He's also buried there. Now, if you know where Baba Salam is, or if you're on the right hand side, you're facing the Qibla on the right hand side, the extension part by door number 7, around there, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father Abdullah was buried. He was about 18 years old. Amina was expecting Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he passed away. Before Rasulullah was born, his father Abdullah passed away, and he was buried over there. When the authorities in the early 80s decided to do the extension of Masjid An-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they came across that this is where Rasulullah's father is buried. What do we do? So they made mashura. They asked our ulama, Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Zakaria. They asked them, the governor of the place asked them, what should we do? What should we do? The authorities asked our ulama, what should we do? So they said, see, in those days, those people that know, near Bab Jibril used to be those people, they say from the family of Bilal radiallahu anhu, they used to wear that coat with the green belt. They used to be the ones that clean inside the haram, inside Roza Mubarak. That they should call them. These are special people, chosen people. They should be the first ones to dig the qabr out, to dig the qabr. So they went there, and our ulama took part in the digging of, to take out, to exhume the body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father. And when they opened the grave, he was 18 years old, over 1,400 years ago, 1,400 years prior to that, or even longer than that, he was buried. Maybe close to 1,500 years ago. When they opened his cover, Allahu Akbar, it was like the day he was buried. Handsome, zulfa, pitch black, only 18 years old, with his beautiful beard. Our ulama, with these pious people, took his qabr from body from there and buried him in Baqi. It happened in the 80s. So one is that area, to know where that area is. This is where, this will show you, this is not a small place. You know, when you go there, you check in my book, you see, it's my book, Spiritual Guide to Hajj, Umrah and Ziyarah. On the back inside cover, I got diagrams showing you the various houses of various Sahaba, which today is part of Masjid An-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabi barik wa sallim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'ahlu. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa afu anna ya kareem. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya zal jalalil ikram, mubarak month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, give every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. giving up all sins. Ya Allah, give us all the tawfiq of giving up all sins, all haram. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of following every way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Save us from imitating and following the ways of the Yahud and Nasara and the Kuffar. Save us from following the ways of the Kuffar. Make us love you. Make us love your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bless each one of us, Ya Allah, to go to Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara and Aqsa time and time again with ikhlas and afiyat, and give us a maqbool journey. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Zal Jalali Al Ikram, give us all afiyat in both worlds. Give us good health, Ya Allah. Save us from a bad old age. Save us and our children and our progeny from a sudden death. Ya Allah, bless us to stay amongst the pious. Ya Allah, make bless us to stay among the pious, and our children, our progeny, till day of Qiyamah, to stay among the pious. Make us live among the pious. Make us die among the pious. Resurrect us in the day of Qiyamah among the pious. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, please protect us from all types of evil and corruption. Protect us in this country. Protect our iman, our lives, our properties, our masjids, our madrasas, our khankas. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, give us all the understanding of deen and the love of deen and the love for you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, bless us with afiyat in both worlds. Ya Allah, bless us with ease in both worlds. Ya Allah, whoever has got whatever difficulty, remove their difficulties. Those in this gathering and those that may be listening and throughout the world, if anybody got financial difficulties, they're staying in Allah rented houses and they want their own house, you don't need, Ya Allah, you can do it with their Qudrat, Ya Allah. Give it to them with afiyat, places where they can stay with good neighbors and in a good environment without getting involved in the bank and interest. Ya Allah, give them homes. Ya Zal Jalal Al Ikram, whoever Ya Zal Jalal Al Ikram got sicknesses, you can cure it without even medication. Whether it's sugar, whether it's cancer, whether it's arthritis, whatever sicknesses everybody has, give them complete shifa. Ya Allah, whoever is stressed out and depressed regarding their children who have gone astray, give their children the tawfiq of making Tawbah and coming back to them. Ya Allah, those children that are indulging in drugs, alcohol, pornography, zina, make them make tawbah. Whoever is indulging in all this, they make them make tawbah, Ya Allah. Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, give everyone that is indulging in pornography the tawfiq of making tawbah. Our sisters, Ya Allah, that are wearing tight-fitting clothes and shameless clothes and, Ya Allah, jeans and t-shirts, make them make tawbah. Put haya and modesty into them. Give them hidayat, give them understanding of deen. Ya Allah, give them taqwa. All our sisters that are unmarried and are looking for pious husbands, Ya Allah, give them pious spouses with whom they can live with happiness and make them get married according to Sharia, Ya Allah, without being wasteful and extravagant. All those men that need to get married, give them pious spouses with whom they can live with happiness, from whom we can give them pious children. Ya Allah, all those that are fighting among themselves, husband and wife, create love and unity amongst them, Ya Allah. Guide them on the straight path. Make everybody, Ya Allah, do their estate, do their virasat and do their distribution of their estate according to Sharia, and that those that are in charge of it do it in the correct manner. Save us from haram in earnings. Save us from haram eating. Make our earnings halal and pure. Oh Allah, please protect us from becoming extravagant and wasteful. People are wasting money and eating in restaurants. Thousands and millions of rands they're wasting, yet our poor brothers are suffering there and sisters are suffering in Gaza. Oh Allah, put it in the hearts of the people. Let us not become extravagant and wasteful in our eating and in our weddings, and simplify our lives and help those that are in need. Ya Allah, protect us from, Ya Allah, becoming extravagant. Help us to help those that are in need and save us from ever becoming beggars. Ya Allah, save us from ever becoming beggars. Make us always be dependent on you. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, through your fazl and karam, wasila Rasul Pak Sassam, accept all our du'as with afiyat. Ya Allah, whoever in their hearts got certain concerns, help them in their difficulties and remove their difficulties and give them afiyat, and make us all from your maqbool servant. Make us from your maqbool servant. Ya Allah, give us good manners, behavior and character. Save us from arrogance and pride. Save us from showing off. Save us from showing off. Oh Allah, help all those that are going from Hajj and Umrah, from, Ya Allah, wasting their time and indulging in photography and videos, and Ya Allah, from this showing disregard to the Mubarak cities, give everybody hidayat. Ya Allah, through Your Fazl and Karam, Wasila of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, accept our du'as. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khairin ma sa'alaka min nabiyyika Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'azaka min nabiyyika Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-bala wa la hawla wa quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azim. Amin. Bi fadli subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun. Salamun alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. So inshallah next week will be the second part.